Well, first to Queensland, where the worst floods in 50 years have forced mass evacuations in the central and southern parts of that state. Overnight, Black Hawk helicopters were called in to evacuate the entire town of Theodore. Other towns affected, include Chinchilla, Dalby, Warra, Alpha and Jericho. The flood damage across the state could top $1 billion. Emergency services say they're expecting more floods across Queensland in the next 24 hours. Joining me now for an update on the floods is the acting Queensland Premier, Paul Lucas. Good morning, Mr. Lucas.
Good morning, Julian.
Can you give us an update on the floodwaters that are happening across the state and the ones that you've been inspecting?
Well, first of all, with respect to the weather, fortunately, it's tended to improve now. The Weather Bureau have indicated to us that the big rain that's been really all over the state has now retreated, so that's given us some relief. But some of these river catchments are actually absolutely enormous, and for example, Rockhampton experiences the flooding from the weather events usually about a week after the rain stops or stops falling in the catchment. Even just one of the tributaries of the Fitzroy system is 5,000 square kilometres. So we've got a number of communities where floodwaters have peaked and are hopefully starting to go down. For example, Warwick, potentially Dalby. They're very, very flat on the western downs. Now, I flew over Warwick and Dalby yesterday. It was essentially very difficult to get into them quickly. I landed in Chinchilla. The river is up there, I think, about 7.24 metres, which is well into the town. Very significant height, and it's going to stay constant for a few days there. Theodore is in the process of evacuating, hasn't finished totally. The ADF helicopters will be there today. One of the real problems with Theodore, most other towns are evacuating from one part to the other. Theodore is evacuating totally because there is essentially no high ground in the town left. It's about a football field size of ground left in the front of the pub in the RSL. So it's very significant.
Right. So how many towns have been approved for disaster relief now?
Look, off the top of my head, I don't have the exact number there, but I think now we'd be up around a dozen. And that's in terms of individual relief. We have no questions relief asked, money for people at a small hardship level. And then, of course, there's means-tested money available through the appropriate resources. And you identify a very important point, Julian. It's not just, of course, dealing with the flood, it's then the clean-up and that comes thereafter, and that's certainly something that's at the forefront of our mind as well, together with the very significant damage to crops and houses and the like.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, yesterday the military was called in as well. Is that a usual practice in these situations, or is it the extraordinary scale of the events which have caused this?
Well, look, the protocol is with the Commonwealth that the Defence Forces are only called in when we've exhausted local resources. That's their requirement. I briefed the Acting Prime Minister yesterday morning. Of course, he was very, very supportive of the need for us to, any need that we had, he was assured of any Commonwealth support. So the two Black Hawks have been dispatched to be available at Theodore for further evacuation in the event that we need to make any more evacuation mandatory there. But it's been going very well there. Thank you to one of the mining companies, I won't mention them on national radio for your reasons, but that have been very helpful to us in terms of putting up their mining camp for people to stay in the Moura area. And we would hope that if there are any further taskings, we can use them for. The areas that we're sort of concerned about at the moment are Emerald and Rockhampton, and also Theodore in particular, and the Bundaberg region. Emerald's floodwater will probably cut off its major bridge, the Vince Lester Bridge, later tonight. And, of course, then there's no road access from either from one side of the town to the other. The railway bridge is about 1.5 metres higher, so we could potentially, as we have in the past, use it for ferrying things backwards and forwards, and that contingency is being finalised. Right. Rockhampton and the big and other things like that. So, and additionally, that area around Bundaberg, a lot of that's very low-lying. River levels are rising there as well.
Okay. Now, obviously the message for safety is for people not to drive in floodwaters. Is it the case that police will actually charge people who ignore those warnings and drive through floodwaters?
Well, in a number of cases, police have got road signs up there, and if you disobey a road sign, whether it's not entering a closed road or going through a stop sign, of course, you'll be dealt with in relation to that. But even so, and even putting aside the people who disobey road signs and those sorts of things who will be dealt with by the police, We also say to people, just be careful generally about driving. Many, for those Australians who live in Victoria, your big threat is bushfires. It has a whole different category of threat to statewide flooding that we generally have. People in Queensland understand that and need to understand that, for example, even though there's water off the road might be spongy, the road might be damaged underneath. So you can't just drive at the maximum speed limit once the water's off the road, let alone when it's on it.
So obviously, safety first in these circumstances. You mentioned earlier the potential costs to the economy, not just of the cleanup operation, but also the flow-on effects in terms of potential, you know, export impacts and the like. The Australians estimated that cost as potentially $6 billion. Are you concerned about the impact of the floods on the state economy, and how robust do you think the economy is to deal with this?
Well, look, fortunately, it would appear that whilst there have been significant impacts in relation to mining, we haven't, for example, seen some of the really catastrophic incidents that we've seen in some previous floods, touch wood thus far. We've certainly seen some reports in relation to fresh food and produce and the like, and we'd be concerned about that, not only in terms of its broader impact, but in terms of its impact on consumers and pricing. And similarly with the cotton industry and the like, we've also seen reports of very significant likely losses. So a lot of that we won't know until the water's gone down and recedes. Queensland is still a very, very big place with a lot of cropping land that I flew over that is out of water, but heavy rains can ruin crops that aren't even in or underwater. So that remains to be seen yet, but it will be very, very significant in its impact.
Well, obviously, a lot of Queensland has been taking a bit of a beating from this weather. Your government's had a pretty tough year, though, as well, copping a bit of a beating in the polls. I think the primary vote sunk to its lowest vote in Queensland history, and the speculation about Premier Anna Bligh's job. How's Labor going to reposition itself in 2011?
Well, look, what we did was take a lot of tough decisions this year. The decision in relation to privatising Queensland Rail National was not a decision about a popularity contest. It was about a decision in the best economic interests of Queensland. And those tough decisions often cause short-term issues in relation to popularity and support. I think Anna Bligh's real strength is she's someone who's actually very determined and to take the right decisions for Queensland. So you don't govern for what happens today or tomorrow. You govern for the long term and you worry about things such as floods, such as these issues, which is what we're elected to do.
All right, Paul Lucas, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Julian.
And Paul Lucas is the acting Premier of Queensland. A few speculations there about the state of Labor in Queensland. We will be talking about the state of the Labor Party generally coming up on Summer Breakfast, talking to quarterly essayist George Megalogenis. But now it is 21 minutes to 8.